To episode number 19 of Belcore Radio. This is your host, Pony Boy, and I'm joined by a very special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Frolics with Scissors.
Frolics with Scissors is a buddy of mine from the local Hack Duluth meetings. He's much smarter than me about a lot of stuff.
But not about everything.
Yeah, well, I don't know. A lot of people are smarter than me about a lot of stuff, though. But I guess let's go ahead and start this out with a little bit of housekeeping. Good news for Zixer, who won the t-shirt contest a while back. My silk screening shit just came in today, so I should have your shirt as well as the few other shirts I'm going to make for our show done soon, hopefully. I don't know when, and I'll get it to you. And our sticker contest is almost over. There's like a week left to it, so, you know, I know there's still some people that are still working on stuff, and, you know, even if you don't finish it up, send me basically a rough draft of what you're doing, and I'll kind of go from there and make the decisions as to who wins that contest. And, I finally took the liberty of actually getting the template again this time, and the URL for it is tinyurl.com/b42a2. All right, that wraps it up for the housekeeping, and I guess you want to just go ahead and jump right into the news for freaks.
Sure.
All right. This one's kind of cool. It doesn't really affect me in Georgia, but I think it's a kind of a cool concept that people are starting to get onto here. A bunch of cell phone services are kind of joining together to offer service to people on New York subways. So, I mean, you know, normally, you know, you're underground, you're not going to have very good cell phone service, but I guess they're actually, wiring doing some form of wiring inside the actual tunnels that will be able to carry the cell service actually into the tunnels, and my phone's ringing. Hang on just a second, I'm going to take this.
This is where we play the interlude music.
And that was terrible radio. Alright, let's see, where were we? Okay, yeah, I think the four major cell phone companies are kind of, I'm not sure if they're officially coming together to do this, or if they're kind of bidding to see who will get to, you know?
I think they're a competition.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. But I personally think it'd be better if they kind of, you know, came together to do this, because, you know, it'd be cheaper for everybody, for all four of the companies, it'd be cheaper for them, if they all kind of split the bill, so to say. And it'd be easier because everybody would be able to use their cell phones, not just people who had, like, singular service or whatever.
Yeah, I believe it's still they're making it available. That part of the deal was that it had to be available for all cell phone carriers and stuff.
Okay, well, that at least they got that going for them then. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, I think this will be pretty cool. Hopefully this, if it works out in New York, which I'm pretty sure it will, you know, I'm pretty sure people are going to want, you know, take full advantage of being able to use their cell phones on the subway. And more than likely it'll make its way to, you know, other places that have similar issues with, like, public transit type stuff, you know?
Yeah, and hopefully someday in airplanes as well.
Yeah. Well, then again, for the low cost of a lot of money, you can, I'm not sure what airlines it is that offers it, but Verizon actually does what's called the Verizon Airphone, where basically you can pay, I want to say it's per call, or you pay up front to be able to receive the calls, and then it's per call or something like that. But you can actually get calls right there to your seat on the plane, which is pretty cool stuff.
I think I have heard of that. Yeah, I recently flew on a plane, and they added some special features to the little phone handset in there. And it also appeared to be outfitted to be a game controller and to select movies. So maybe they're thinking about adding some stuff to Delta to allow you to choose your own movies on the flight and also play games from your seat as well as make calls.
That sounds like the hot shit, dude.
Yeah, I was messing with it, but it wasn't hooked up.
I'm sure it'd be expensive as hell to, you know, I'm pretty sure they're not going to offer that kind of service for free, but...
Yeah, it was all the way back in the cheapo section, too.
So they probably got it working in first class.
Yeah.
See, that's why you gotta spring that a little bit of extra money, man.
Yeah, maybe in first class they were working, but I couldn't tell.
I guess, moving on, some of you guys may recall in, I guess, probably the previous three episodes we've talked about this, about Bell South trying to, make a service, or trying to offer their service to where companies who paid them money, their websites would load faster than others. And I think I talked about it in the last episode. Bell South officially announced that they are doing this, and they've been talking to companies about it and trying to get them to pay them money. And Google has basically told Bell South to fuck off. You know, they kind of stepped up to the plate for what I've been begging for ever since I heard about this thing, but...
I think that's a great name, too. Cyber extortion.
Yeah.
It looks really good in tech.
I mean, I think that this is probably what's going to kill that service right then and there, you know?
Well, besides being like that with a fairly popular page.
Yeah, I mean, like, what I'm saying is, like, who doesn't use Google? Seriously. Tell me one person who doesn't use Google as their main search engine. Or use Gmail. And if Google's not going to pay this shit, people are going to be like, you know what, fuck this. I want Google to load just as fast as everything else. Stop making everything go faster than this. And they're going to fucking jump ship. They're going somewhere else. You know? Because, you know, like it or not, Google owns the internet. And Bell South might think they have the power to do this kind of stuff, but Google probably owns Bell South.
Yeah.
In one way or another.
Yeah. Well, the other thing to think of, too, is that the 99% of the consumers still don't know what active role their ISP plays in the whole, you know, loading of web pages. They just know they pay somebody to make it work.
Yeah, I mean,
they can't tell the difference, I don't think.
Yeah, it's that kind of you know, people need to know that kind of stuff, though, you know? Especially with stuff like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand, you know, oh, okay, I pay this and it makes the pages come up. And, you know, I have broadband, so it makes it come up faster than dial-up or whatever. I can understand, you know, having that general knowledge. But when it comes to something like, hey, my ISP is getting money from people to make their websites load faster than other websites, that's stuff people really need to understand, you know? I mean, it's basically their service that they're paying for is getting sold to the highest bidder.
Yes. That that Bell South is taking on money on both ends.
Yeah. But that's what it's about, I guess. You know, that's why Bell South is in existence. They're not, you know, telephone companies aren't exactly the public utility service that they once were, you know.
Yeah, well, hell, if I could pay Google to drop a line straight to my house, I'd do that.
But yeah, so crazy mad fucking props to Google for stepping up to the plate here, you know? I think that's probably maybe the first time I've ever given props to Google on this show. The listeners know usually I don't trust Google. But I'm happy. I'm happy today. I like Google today. And I'm going to start using them as my search engine again.
Yes. Now I know there's an anti Google movement out there.
Oh yeah, I mean I've been I don't want to say I'm anti Google. I've been very very wary of Google as of late, you know, just because they do everything with the internet.
True.
I know. Actually, I've been kind of happy because this is kind of off show notes here, but. I'm sure you've probably heard about it. I'm sure our listeners have probably heard about it, but the FBI, I believe it was, has been subpoenaing records from all the major search engines for like the queries that were searched in like a certain week, so they could track stuff down. And basically, like AOL and Yahoo and somebody else that's not that important, we're like, hell yeah, take our records, you know, just don't fuck with us, please, FBI, just take this shit and get out of here. But Google was like, hell no. They're like, you know, why do you need this? I mean, you know, we value our users' privacy. And, unfortunately for Google, that caused a quite big drop, or not really very big, but it caused a fairly decent sized drop in their stock. People started selling off when Google made that announcement, you know.
Wow.
I guess they thought, oh shit, this is where Google gets shut down by the government, so.
Well, props again to Google for that.
Yeah, I mean, Google has been making me happy lately, so.
Because I know when I'm searching about, you know, how to extract, you know, phosphorus, dangerous explosive substances, I always use Google. You know, how to extract ammonium nitrate, how to, you know, make your own blasting gel.
Yeah. I mean, and his IP, by the way, is...
Yes. Oh, I'm sure Google has my IP in next to every one of my search queries, but as long as I know that they're not giving it to the government, that's nice.
Yeah, there it is right there. It's got, you know, how to make your own blasting gel, you know, and then his IP. It's got how to make a bomb out of a shoebox, and then his IP, and then it's got, you know, preteen gangbang.
Yeah.
But
right so.
But back, okay, away from bombs and child pornography, some more freaking stuff, which is cool as shit. For those of us who are, well, I shouldn't say those of us because I have no experience in it, but for those of us who are interested in a voice over IP, a company called Locell, I guess, has made a little USB like flash drive thing called Phone Drive, which basically, you plug it in, and it's like a little sound card, I believe. I'm reading the article as I speak here. It's basically lets you kind of, make VoIP phone calls from just, like, anywhere you can. Like, any computer you're at, you know. It automatically, loads on a soft phone, or like a SIP phone, I think. And it's got a little earphone right there in the USB device, and you just plug it in and opens up the soft phone and you make your calls.
Yeah, the best part about this is the link that, that I have here. The picture of the product is this little USB key with what looks like a little phone headset micro jack photoshopped into it, and then it's sitting on a slice of tomato.
I guess that's to show you the size of it, but that is a really weird picture now that I really think about it.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you see a USB dongle, you automatically know how big it is because you can see the USB mail tab on there. But nice picture. I don't know who made that, but there it is, loud and proud on their website.
Thank you for pointing that out. That is a really weird thing. I didn't even know, like, you know, it didn't even register to me how actually weird that was.
It is awesome.
Alright, well, that about wraps it up for the News for Freaks this week. Time for some ranting and pissed offness. And, as usual, it seems that this is the subject of a rant on our show at least once every 2 weeks. The double A's, the RIAA and the MPAA, are being dicks again. And basically, to sum up this entire article I've got here in front of me, they're trying to make it illegal, even under fair use. They're not saying that fair use is, they're not trying to get rid of people's fair use at the moment, but what they're trying to do is make it illegal for people to develop future applications and future technology to bypass digital rights management. So, basically, you know, all the stuff you have right now to back up your DVDs and back up your CDs or whatever, it's perfectly okay. But once they roll out that new digital rights management on the next version of DVDs, if you make something that can get past that DRM, you're breaking the law then. And that's bullshit. Your thoughts?
Absolutely have to agree. I've noticed that both the RIAA and the MPAA have been, they're literally running around like little children trying to close the doors for you know, using their products, is the way I see it. What little they're trying to do to expand into the new form of media, which is really taking over the digital media, they've been trying through legislation to limit what hardware can be played on, putting hardware decoding chips and that kind of thing in upcoming products. And some of the major studios and record labels refuse to do this, and that's the only reason they're being unable. Microsoft doesn't want to play along with some of their new technology for encoding video that will prevent music videos and movies from playing on certain TVs and computer monitors. Because Microsoft's rolling out their next version of the media PC.
I agree totally with what you're saying about they're just all the RIAA and the MPAA are doing is stopping innovation. You know, they want us to be stuck in a world where we have to spend, you know, this amount of money for this physical object, you know, whether it be a DVD or, you know, a CD or whatever. They want, that's really how they make up, The fact of them selling an actual physical disc or an actual physical object is how they feel justified charging outrageous prices like that. Charging, you know, $20 or $16.99 or whatever for a CD. When in actuality, they could probably, in order to make, you know, still a decent amount of profit, they could sell those for, you know, I'd say a reasonable price, maybe $10. And that's giving them a good amount of profit, still. But they don't want to just, you know, they have a good thing going for them there. And they're not about to just say, oh yeah, sure, it's quite alright that everyone just starts, you know, using this iTunes thing that we only get a little bit of royalties from every time somebody downloads. You know, we want you guys to pay, you know, $20 and get 16 crappy songs and one good one instead of just getting that one good one for a dollar.
And that is what's happening. People don't want to download. The ratio of downloads of individual songs from an artist as opposed to entire albums is disgusting.
I don't know. It seems like if they would focus more on going out and... Because, I mean, I know a lot of people that are in bands that are really good. They're amazing musicians, but they, you know, they're just those people who never get discovered. And I think if the RIAA would spend more effort going out and trying to find these artists that play good music and get their music out there, and people would pay good money for this music. I know I would pay money for this music. But instead, they're, you know, just shelling out these canned crap, like, you know, pop princess diva chicks, and expecting everyone to just, you know, shut up and be happy consumers and buy their CDs.
Well, I do have to agree with that. Well, I also see that their marketing, what works for them, if the majority of the population is content with cheap pop music, then the RIAA is more than justified giving to them. I think that's more of a social issue.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't want to get dragged into a big culture jamming or conspiracy theory type thing here, but, you know, why do you think that the public is more than willing to just accept this, you know, crappy Britney Spears music, you know? There's a reason, and that's because that's what's played on every other radio station. And that's what is put on MTV, which, you know, everybody still associates MTV with being the trendy music of the day. It always has been. And, you know, if MTV all of a sudden decided, here's what we're going to do, we're going to take all... You know, we're not going to play Jessica Simpson, we're not going to play 50 Cent on here anymore, we're going to take all that crap off, and we're going to play nothing but, like, industrial music from the Netherlands. I guarantee you, in, like, 2 weeks, everybody would fucking love it.
It's true.
Everybody would be walking around, dressed all in fucking black and shit, and fucking speaking Dutch. And that's because that's all it is. It's just, it's a hype.
It's advertising.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially, let's say you find a really hot chick. Put her in one of those bands. Put her on MTV. There you go. Everybody's happy then, you know? I get this crappy music off the TV, and there's still hot chicks, and guys will still pay money to get these CDs just to look at the liner notes, because there's hot chicks in there. But yeah, I don't want to get off in a big rant about that kind of stuff today. I know you had some fun stuff you wanted to talk about, some hardware hacking.
Yeah, I like hardware hacking. Basically because I have trouble with software sometimes. But hardware I like. You can wrestle with it physically, and I don't have to get into the mental struggles of dealing with software and numbers and code, all that kind of stuff. Although I'm moving in that direction as well. But hardware hacking, I like it. The philosophy of hardware hacking. Let's think here. Usually, when I start a project, it's come upon some inspiration. Either I saw something and thought it was cool and wanted to upgrade it somehow, or I have a piece of equipment here and I'm thinking, what can I do with it? But basically, hardware hacking is very generic. You either start with your pieces or you start with your idea, and it doesn't matter which way you work it. It's top to bottom, left to right. You always end up with something unique, and that's what I like about it. And plus, you get to then show off your handiwork, and everyone likes something that's either a little bit too ghetto or a little bit too clean looking. Like one of my recent projects here, went to a computer store, got some cool little USB powered speakers, and didn't know what to do with them, so I brought them back home, took them apart, and looked at the amplifying unit there, and took one of my earlier projects, which I saw on Hackaday, the 9-volt battery charger for your iPod, and it's stored in a little Altoid tin. And I hooked that up to the USB speakers and found that they worked, with just a 9-volt battery, and would run for hours on end. Assembled it together in a cardboard box with some nicer speakers, because the other one sounded like crap. And I threw in the little dock adapter from my iPod Nano. And now I've got one of those nifty little iPod Nano docking stations. Boomboxes. It's fits nicely under the arm. It's all white, looks very clean. And I just plug my Nano in and flip on a little USB charger by a 9-volt battery, and it'll play decently for a couple hours. Recently played at one of our Hackaloo meetings, the entire meeting through, and it didn't sound great, but it worked. The music was loud. You can hear it. But basically, from there, I started with my materials and then worked up an idea of what I could do with it. I was just talking to a friend online a few moments ago, and he had a question for me about what would be the best way to detach the buttons from his mouse and put them on a lamp, because he wanted to steer his mouse with his hand and then click the buttons on a lamp. I don't know why, but suddenly I had the idea. Once you've got the buttons removed from the mouse, you know, what do you do with them then? You can stick them anywhere. And he had an idea. Put a clicker on the floor, so have your left and right foot click the mouse buttons. And my next project, which I'll probably start on tomorrow, is going to be installing an optical USB mouse in my shoe. And so in my right shoe, I've got a bunch of spare combat boots lying around. There's a nice big section in between the right where the bridge of the foot is. Now stick the optical part of the board there and put a clicker in my toe. And then I'll probably run a little cord over to the other foot, put a clicker in the other toe of the other shoe, and so I can navigate my computer by moving my feet, getting a little bit of exercise, not sitting on my ass perfectly still. And plus, it'll look so much cooler to have one of your shoes, like, letting off this red glow, and like, the mouse will be moving all over the screen and dragging stuff around. and people will be like, how are you doing that? Because you'll just be sitting there with your hands on the keyboard. And so there, that's, in that instance, I started with the idea, expanded upon it, you know, from just the clicker buttons on the floor to the entire mouse on the floor to attach to the shoe. And it's not going to take me more than 20 minutes and a little bit of wire. And hopefully I'll have something pretty cool. Because I've got mice here that I can take apart. And I guess I could also do the whole rollerball thing, too. That would be pretty cool.
Just cut out a section in the bottom of the shoe and actually fit the whole mouse in there if you needed to.
Yeah. And then you could roll your foot from left to right to click it. I mean, it's not hard. I mean, hardware hacking is, as far as I can tell, the simplest hacker cred you can earn. Usually end up with something looking pretty cool. Even if you don't gain any, if the additional, functionality from something, if it looks different, if it's in a different case, if it's, that's flashing red instead of green, that's a hardware hack. And you've set yourself above the level of the average consumer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of inclined to agree. What you said when you first started speaking about, I'm interested. I really like the idea of, you know, coding software. But I can't do it, you know? I've tried time and time again to teach myself programming languages, and my brain just doesn't work that way, you know? I can't think in functions and variables and stuff. And, I don't have a firm grasp with electronics, with actual, you know, I mean, like, I understand the basics of it, but I'm also generally too afraid to open up things, because I know I'll end up breaking them and have to buy new ones.
That's legitimate, too.
Yeah, that's why I can think in, that doesn't sound right. I can think telephonically, so to speak.
I like that.
I mean, you know, telephones, they come naturally to me, you know? I mean, I don't have a very technical mind, but I can, you know, I can exchange scan and I can explore things. You know, I find it easy to, you know, just fly through, you know, checking out the extensions on a PBX and messing around with stuff, and that's, you know, it's all a mindset. You know, people have to understand when it comes to hacking and being a hacker that it's not just, not all people who are hackers, you know, can write software, and you know, not all people who are hackers are into phones. I know I am. Not everybody is, though. But it just all depends on really how you think and what you can relate to, you know.
Your comment there about not all hackers being able to write software. Sometimes I can't even use software.
Yeah.
But and not that I consider myself an elite hacksaw, but if you make something do what it was not meant to do, then you are hacking, and you are special.
Yeah, I mean, the hack of the week in the last episode, I talked about making padlock shims out of a beer can, which I know me and you have discussed previously. And, you know, lockpicking is hacking. People don't really always tend to see it that way. But it is. You're making a lock open in a way that it's not supposed to open. Because a lock is supposed to open with a key, or by entering the right combination. It's not supposed to open with a beer can. It's not supposed to open with a lockpick. It does, but it's not supposed to. And that's, you know, exactly, that's what hacking is, you know. It's about making something do what it's not supposed to do.
Precisely. And usually that entails adding functionality. I mean, you know, putting a volume knob on that speaker that sits too close to your head. You know, that's not hard, but you hack a little volume knob in there, and now you've added functionality. You've done something useful. You've enhanced your life and by changing the items around you.
But also, you know, if you really think about it, and I'm kind of surprised that this kind of eluded me of earlier, but there's also hacking. Now that I think about it, it's not just about making something do what it's not supposed to do. You know, I mean, I write a lot of text files, you know, and a lot of people would say, that's not hacking. But I think that is hacking, you know. If you write a text file that teaches someone else how to do something, or that makes someone think in a different way, I think, you know, that is hacking in itself. Teaching someone and because I guess, yeah, you're adding functionality to them. Adding something to their knowledge that wasn't there before.
I have to agree with that fully. I would certainly have a lot fewer wonderful enhanced items around my house had I not had a great tutorial writers to help me along. And I think that's the top level of hacker, person that shares his knowledge and his skill and his experience through text files and, you know, all sorts of tutorials.
Hell yeah. Well, I had one more little thing before we get to the weekly hack, which is coming up pretty damn soon. I wanted to talk a little bit about a book that I've been reading lately, and it's one of those O'Reilly books. It's pretty damn good. It's called Podcasting Hacks, and I haven't gotten all the way through it yet. I'm probably only a couple of chapters through, but I've been skimming back and forth throughout all the pages, and it is a damn good book. You know, as some of our listeners may know, I do a weekly radio show called Belcore Radio.
Surprise!
And this, you know, a lot of the stuff in this book is, well, for me now, it's become sort of common sense stuff, but for people who are starting out, people who, you know, I mean, like, I know when me and Mesa recorded the first episode of this show, we didn't know what the fuck we were doing. I have been planning on doing this show probably 3 months previous to when we started doing it, and I couldn't figure out how I was going to get the show done. So if you're starting out, read this book. It is unbelievably awesome. It covers stuff about, you know, stuff from how to set up a good home recording studio, or how to set up a mobile recording studio. It talks about the different kinds of microphones you can use, and recommendations of, like, if you're outside somewhere, what kind of mic you should use when you're outside, or if you're in your home studio. But it talks about also other stuff, like how to present yourself professionally if you're contacting someone about an interview or something. Like, let's say you wanted to interview, I don't know, Steve Jobs, which chances are you probably wouldn't be able to. But, you know, it teaches you, you know, I guess it's kind of social engineering in a sense, you know, how to present yourself as a professional member of the media, you know? And it also, and this is actually one that I've been working on this episode. It recommends, in order to get your radio personality voice going, to, while you're recording, avoid caffeine and, avoid caffeine and cold beverages, and it recommends to drink lemon tea, which I actually have lemon tea here in front of me, and I've been drinking it the whole episode.
Yeah, but it's a cold, caffeinated iced tea brewed by Nestle, isn't it?
No, this is like hot tea.
Oh.
And, you know, I think it's kind of worked. It's decaf tea. I mean, I never thought I'd actually drink decaffeinated tea in my life. But, I think it's worked. You know, I haven't stammered as much as I normally would during a show. But, yeah, I guess before I ramble on too much about it, if you have some spare cash, you're looking for a cool book to read, and, maybe you have a show already, maybe you're thinking about starting a show, which I highly recommend you do, because I like listening to other people's shows, so make one right now. Yeah, just check out this book. I'm sure it's available somewhere on the internet in ebook form by now. But, you know, I recommend you buy it, because it's worth the money. And just, you know, read it. Check it out. And, I guess that's about it so far. Maybe when I finish the book, I'll be able to talk a little bit further. But, I'm definitely going to be trying to, take some of the knowledge I get out of that book and use it when I'm recording the show, so that we can, you know, give you guys a better quality, more professional type show. Well, not more professional sounding, not professional hosts or content. But yeah, check that book out. It's really good, and that's the last time I'm going to tell you to check that book out.
Well, you can't go wrong with an O'Reilly book.
Yeah, I mean, O'Reilly books, generally speaking, that's good info in those books, you know. I can't believe I bought this one, because I have about three other O'Reilly books I got for Christmas that I've just been, they're just sitting on my bookshelf now. But, I guess it's time for a little bit of hacking in the form of the hack of the week. But, actually, I don't know if we could consider this the hack of the week, or, I don't know, I guess it's a little bit of hacking, it's a little bit of freaking, it's a little bit of, I guess, social engineering in a sense, not really social engineering a person, but, you know, you get a phone call, right? And, it's happened to everybody. You get a phone call, and it's a prank caller, and they just keep calling you and fucking with you. And so, you want to find out where they live. Or, you know, generally where they are, because if you can find out their address, maybe you'll know who it is or whatever. But, everybody knows you can go to, what is it, whitepages.com or superpages.com or a million other websites and do a reverse lookup of their phone number and get their address that way. But what if you're not at a computer? You know, what if you're on vacation or something? Well, there's a phone number that you can call, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you the number now. It's 888-222-7007. And I'm going to actually call it, but just to let everyone know before they, you know, think that I'm dropping my own docs here, the number that I'm going to get the address for is the governor of Georgia's office in downtown Atlanta. And if you'll hang on for just one second for all the scissors, I'm going to flash over real quick and three-way this call in.
You live with the governor?
Say what?
Nothing.
All right, 2 seconds.
Thank you for calling the Gotta Get Different information line. Counter, the marketer of Different would like to send you a $10 check that can be applied to your first prescription, along with a product information packet. I'll collect your information shortly so we can mail you this terrific offer. You can also receive free music downloads when you register online at www.gottagetdifferent.com. Now, to get your $10 check, I can use your home telephone number to look up your address and process your request. This call may be recorded. Galderma respects your privacy and will not share this information with third parties. Speaking in a natural voice, please provide us with the following information. Are you calling from your home telephone?
No.
Please tell me your home phone number, including the area code.
404-656-1776.
I heard 404-656-1776. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to ask you to verify some information. First, let's confirm that I have your current address.
203 State Capitol Southwest, Atlanta, Georgia, 30334.
Is that right?
Yes.
Sorry, but I'm not sure I understood you correctly. Let me repeat that address one more time.
203 State Capitol Southwest, Atlanta, Georgia, 30334.
Is that your current address?
Yes.
After the tone, please slowly say and then spell both your first and last name.
Alright, so that was pretty damn cool, if I do say so myself.
Wow. I've never called that number before. I am impressed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, it's really not that amazing of a thing when you have, you know, if you're at if you have access to the internet, you can look it up all sorts of places. But, you know, that's come in handy for me several times, and hopefully it'll come in handy for other people if they need it, you know?
Wow. Well, now I know who's sending me all those damn missed calls.
Yeah, there you go. You know, you get a wrong number and you want to track that person down and kill them in the night, there you go. But, I guess, well, okay, what we're going to do now is, I got some phone numbers that I'm going to call, those numbers that I've been trying to call for the past two episodes, but, I'm going to have to wait, because I don't have a calling card at the moment, and so what we're going to do is, I'm going to get Mesa on the line sometime in tomorrow for us recording right now. You guys won't notice the difference, you guys listening to the show, but we're going to record the numbers, and we're going to pass them, we're going to record the phone calls, I should say, and then we're just going to edit that audio in here, and that's going to wrap up the show for us. But this is the end, so far, of this, this half of the show. Did you have anything else you wanted to cover before we,
I wanted to know, what software are you using to edit out all the stuttering and the dead silence in this particular phone call here?
The program I'm using to record the entire show and do all the editing, it's called Audacity. It's, I want to say it's open source. I know it's licensed under the GPL, I'm pretty sure. And it's, you know, it can run on any platform, which is it's a really nice program, you know. It's actually in the O'Reilly book I was talking about. They actually recommend this software for all your recording, and they're damn right. You know, it's good shit. It's simple to use, and it's got a nice user interface and everything. It's nice. So, I think it's audacity.sourceforge.com or .org or whatever SourceForge is. So, yeah. If anybody's planning on recording the show, you can use this software, and it will work very nicely for you.
I have something to add on that.
Ah, go ahead.
My brother has found his way into a band by playing the instrument known as bass, and I've been helping him and his buddies record their demo CD ever since they Alan brought back, or my brother, as I should say, brought back a CD that they had recorded using a single mic in a different room with a boot over it to muffle the sound. Kind of terrible. Had to help him out. So today and yesterday, I spent all day over in their basement with enormous mixers and, you know, microphones and amps and speakers and stacks and Sonic Maximizer, 42-band equalizer, some really nice audio gear. And I used a program on a laptop recently acquired for free. I used Cool Edit Pro. which I would also recommend for recording. It has a nice wave output that you can see. You can zero right in a particular section or word or note or tone and chop it out pretty easily. Hmm. And you can lay up to 128 tracks over. So if you've got 128 vocal tracks you want to chop over each other for a little bit of harmony, you can do it right there and adjust those levels. And it's pretty handy software.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. And all you need to do now is convince your brother and his band to release all their music under Creative Commons licenses, and then I'll use it on the show.
That would be fantastic. I could probably convince them to do that, because I'm their manager now, and I've got all the recordings on my computer.
Basically, hey, I've got all your music, so I think I'm your manager now.
Yeah.
You owe me 10%.
Yeah, 10% of nothing. Although I do have to say, you can get almost any editing software on peer-to-peer networks, and not just the 30-day free trial.
Yeah, but nobody would do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just immoral.
Yeah.
And think of the software executives out there going home hungry tonight. I could put them through that.
Yes. Come on,
although
I have families to feed.
I could do that if it were free to me. Oh, wait. Never mind. You can edit this out, right?
Well, it's been a crazy trip, man.
It has.
I think that's going to about wrap it up. Do you have anybody you want to give the shouts to?
Shout-out? I want to give a shout-out to Qlex, who we haven't seen at the Hack Blues meetings recently, because he has mono.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, you need to tell that motherfucker to come to more meetings, because, tell him to stop having mono, and,
You know, it takes a month to get over that.
I wasn't aware. I've never had mono, so...
Mononucleosis. But, last time I talked to him, he was working on, the Sony rootkit thing.
Yeah.
Was right on the news, and he downloaded this. He was basically editing the rootkit to put it on his own CDs and to run his own program, FTP servers or something. I have no idea. But hell, I'm not taking any discs from him anymore.
Yeah. To clarify for all the listeners, Qlex is a really smart guy who makes really, really shady stuff. he's a digital prankster if there ever was one.
Yeah. Great story. I went to school with him for a while, and we played a hilarious prank on one of my teachers, where while she wasn't looking, he installed a little VB script that caused her CD-ROM to open every, I think it was 30 seconds, and it would open and close every 30 seconds, and it was hilarious, because she kept trying to play a disc, she thought it was something wrong with the disc, also, great, he likes to fool around with the small stuff, but he does some of the larger, Perl scripting and stuff, too, which is just frightening, because he's very creative with software.
Yeah.
Scary, creative with software, and he has a couple of good. I can't put him out there like that, but he has had some great additions to websites under the administrator account. These people probably never saw Gacy coming, but they have now.
Well, now that we're done incriminating people.
Oh, yeah. Big name websites, too. You've heard of them before.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So is that everybody? Do you want to give shouts to anybody else?
No, I'd just like to see that guy sometime soon.
Okay. So, yeah, Qlex, if you're listening, stop having mono and stop making out with Vietnamese transsexual prostitutes. And I want to give some shouts myself here to some pretty cool dudes that I met over at the blacklisted 411 forums. I want to give shouts to Israel Torres. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, because he is an unbelievably elite dude. He's really smart with the cryptography type stuff, and he's just all around. You know, he's cool. He likes to help people. Actually, shouts to everybody that has anything to do with Blacklisted 411. They're all really cool guys. I guess that's it. Just shouts to them. Everybody else can fuck themselves.
Cool.
Yeah. I didn't mean that. Shouts to our listeners, too. You guys can't fuck yourselves either.
Darn. Where else will I get it then?
Well, I guess that wraps it up for this portion of the show. Stay tuned, because there will be phone calls coming up. I guess I'm going to put a little bit of music here in between this stuff. And this music, just like the intro music for the previous episode and this episode, was released under a Creative Commons license. I got this out of Wired Magazine a while back. And I guess we're going to be playing as our interlude music here. It's going to be Chuck D with the Fine Arts Militia, and the song is called No Meaning No. So, Frolix, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, man.
It's been a pleasure being here in my basement on the phone.
Yes, live in studio. And, I guess until next week, guys, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. This has been Belcore Radio, and, end of file.
Cool.
Choruses, no glories, no hallelujahs, land cruisers, no truck users, no friends, no trends, no phony ass friends who begin with ends and end with no ends and no estrogen. No gas ups, no soups, no Lex coupes, no crackers, no backers, no niggas for no blackers, no triple jeans, no mainstream dreams, no stress beams, no accusation, cops ain't talking, no rape charges, no sergeants, no debarges, no lightweight bouts up in the air, shootouts, and no sellouts, no negroes with egos, no more souls, calling women bitches and hoes, no thoughtless lows, no woes. No singing voices, no Rolls Royces, no whack choices, no volunteers getting peers on career years. No solutions, no problems, no more vinyl revolving, no happy campers, no offense, no fuck samples. Reason the hardest word to say is no. Only got two letters, only takes a second to say it. No meaning, no, no contest, no stress, no second ghetto bodyguards. No question, the easiest and the hardest word to say is no. Only got two letters, only takes a second to say it. No meaning, no, no contest, no stress, no second ghetto bodyguards. God, no question. Sucker jazz, no girl, I got the cash wraps. No sex traps, no Rolexes, no unprotected sex. No false hopes, no hang rope boats, no cardinals, no killers, no vanilla, no bigger Willies or Wilmers. No jail time, no fucking little kid rhymes, no studio terrors, no mirrors, no mind, no spelling errors. No amps and pops, no sweatshops, no pork chops, no justice, no peace, no PPP. lifestyles, no willies, no McCoveys, no industry rapes, no capes, no suits and no ties, no stars, no overpaid A&Rs, no bodyguards, no gold teeth, no East Coast, West Coast beefs, no dumb looks, no one-sided books, no special cooks, no finesse, no mess, no struggle, no progress, no hidden sprees, no HIV, no lies for no TVs, no contracts, no tracks for no academy. Easiest and the hardest word to say is no, only got two letters, only takes a second to say it. No meaning, no, no contest, no stress, no second guess, no bodyguards, no question. The easiest and the hardest word to say is no, only got two letters, only takes a second to say it. No meaning, no, no contest, no stress, no second guess, no bodyguards, no question.
Alright, this is Ponyboy, and it's time for a little bit of phone call fun. The first number we're going to call here, actually all the numbers we're going to call here tonight, were found by a guy named Brisk Ativo, who is a really good, really cool guy, really likes to share the phone numbers and whatnot. So thanks, Brisk, for finding these things and posting them around for me to get them. The first one we're going to call is an error message in Japan, and so I'm going to go ahead and dial that one up.
This is KDDI. The number you've dialed is not in service. Please check the number and dial again.
こちらは KDDI です. おかけになった電話番号は現在使われておりません. 番号をお確かめの上おかけ直しください.
This is KDDI. The number you've dialed is not in service. Please check and dial it.
Okay, now we're going to call a number in Australia.
Time remaining, 300 minutes.
This is an Optus test number for Australian Access at Rosebery. This is an Optus test number for Australian Access at Rosebery.
Please enter the destination number you wish to call.
Let's call another number in Japan.
Time remaining, 192 minutes.
Again, I want to give big shouts to Brisk Ativo for posting those numbers around, putting scans online and stuff. Some pretty cool stuff there. Yeah, I guess that's gonna wrap it up for us. Like I said earlier, before the interlude, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. And once again, end of file. I almost forgot to give you guys your present. Anybody who wants to use the phone card I've been using, I think it said there was 100 minutes or so left on it. Fair warning, international rates. I've made 3 phone calls tonight. I just got this phone card, and it starts out with about 500 minutes on it. So, international rates drain your minutes pretty quick. But the dial-in number for it is 1-800-641-2812, and the PIN number is 377-420-8049. Now it's seriously end of file.